Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, October 23rd, 2023. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Dan Rubin. We're going to get into a lot of stuff on today's show. We have the debut of the soon-to-be world-famous Agree or Disagree game. I'm sure you guys are jazzed about that. I am definitely jazzed about that. So the Agree or Disagree game will be unveiled today. We're going to look back on the Penn State game. We're going to look ahead to Wisconsin. Dan's going to talk recruiting. We got a little bit of everything coming for you, but I want to start off with talking about one of our great sponsors, Manscaped, and a great deal you guys can get. Gentlemen across the nation, I have an urgent message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. The brand that took your balls to space is now launching them into the ultrasphere. Introducing the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, featuring a new cutting-edge design and the next-generation dual skin-safe blade heads for different shaves. It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the next level. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS. High tech for low places, Manscaped. All right, once again, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough. It's time to go ultra with Manscaped. All right. I tell you what, Ohio State's defense went ultra against Penn State. I'm here for it, Dan Rubin. 20-12. You know, it really was 20-6. I mean, this defense is just the best in the nation, in my opinion. Not that I'm biased or anything. Your main takeaways from the Penn State game?
Yeah, I can't remember when it was in the first half, but at some point in time, I realized Knowles had Penn State's number. He wasn't going to be – there was no kitchen sink approach by Penn State. That was literally my fear, was that, yes, they had won all their games by a healthy margin, but they were not explosive. I think their most explosive play came in the first drive of their first game. But there was no kitchen sink approach, and then they looked like they had them handled. So any down and distance to Ohio State's favor, I felt pretty confident. And, you know, Drew Aller, I admit I have basked in the glow of a lot of the post-game commentary. Excuse me. Do I like going to the losers' sites and listening to their shows? Maybe. But generally speaking, the issue that I got out of Penn State is they just could not get open. You lost your number one corner in Denzel Burke, and yet it was a Velcro-type cornerback performance from the defensive back. So they're just limited on the outside, and when that's the case and you don't have a quarterback that's mobile, you're in trouble. So, I mean, defensively, they're a good team. Did Ohio State leave some plays on the field? Sure. But like you said, there's a lot of cosmetic aspects to this game. It was not 2012. You know what I'm saying? The eye test didn't say 2012.
Yeah, Ohio State controlled this game. I love it, you know. And, yeah, we all would have taken a 2012, you know, Ohio State win coming into the game. And as you said, it didn't even feel like a 2012 game. It felt more like 20-6 is which is what it almost was.
There
was
23-6.
And because it was
more than just a two touchdown win. Like, I know the feeling of being up two touchdowns and feeling comfortable. This was more than that. There was not a lot of like Believe me, and I can have nerves down the stretch for with the best of them. I just didn't have that feeling in my stomach. I don't know why.
I just rewatched the game this morning. I'm actually pretty close to posting a What We Learned written version on the site. And one thing that I noticed during the game but I had almost forgotten about was not only did Penn State's that last drive make things look good for them, Ohio State was in a prevent defense, which is smart. You're up by 14. The last thing you want to do is give up an 80-yard touchdown or 70-yard touchdown and be like, here we go again. Why are they not just keeping everything in front of them? But I almost forgot there were a couple sympathy penalties in there as well. That drive would have ended early if not for a really bad sympathy penalty. Maybe the officials felt bad for Penn State. There was seriously what it looked like with some of those penalties on that last drive.
There was a face mask, and both were, I think, get-off plays. I think both were, third downs. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's what I'm kind of talking about. There have been plenty of times down the stretch. For example, the Notre Dame game was a close game. This was not.
Well said. All right, so, I mean, Maserati Marv, I love that nickname. He should have an NIL deal with him. It wouldn't be a bad car to drive around in. He was the star of the game. JT Tuimoloau played great. The super juniors on the defensive line. JT, Tyleek Williams is also playing at an All-American level, has been all year. Jack Sawyer's now playing better. Mike Hall, those super juniors, I love those guys. So, those were the stars of the game. Marvin, JT, really the entire defense. Let's talk about Kyle McCord. And I want to preface this with I think overall Kyle has been solid to good this year. I don't think he's been great. I don't think he's been bad. I think he's either been solid or good most of the season this year. Also, Penn State's got a really, really, really good defense. That does play into it. But something we all noticed watching the game live, something that I definitely paid close attention to rewatching the game, I mean, the ball placement was bad. It was bad. Now, he's playing against a tough defense, and it hasn't been that bad all year, Dan. But rewatching the game, I didn't get a better feeling. I was kind of like, oh, geez. And what happens if he doesn't have Marvin Harrison Jr. out there snagging some of those balls that also was poor ball placement? So, McCord, even though Penn State's defense is really good, McCord needs to be markedly better than that, in my opinion, even with this defense being elite.
So, just out of curiosity, I went to see if you project McCord's numbers out, what he's going to finish with, just in terms so we can put it in perspective. 3,320 passing yards, which for here is low. 21 touchdowns, which for here is low. 2 interceptions. It's not
good
bad.
Good ratio.
About 64% completion percentage, which actually is a little bit low for Ohio State. Yards per attempt, Dave, 9.4. Do you know what C.J. Stroud's yards per attempt was last year? 9.5. So the ball is traveling down the field. He was just inaccurate. I think you and Steve hit it on the What We Learned Live. The throw that kind of is indicative to me is the one to Tate in the seam, where you put that out in front of him at 6 probably, or at least he's doing the two-hander on the 10-yard line if that DB's got some wheels. I don't really have a good answer for ball placement because accuracy is kind of a natural thing. It could have been, I'd have to go back and look, his feet could have been a little off. Lest we forget, and I mentioned C.J. Stroud's numbers. C.J. Stroud had 2 NFL tackles. He had Emeka and Marv. And who knows who our running back will be next week because they're going to do the old draw straws at practice again on Tuesday to see who's going to be injured. I've never seen anything like that. It's not that they are injured so much. It's that I've never been able to not predict who's playing out of a unit worse than this group of running backs. In the round table, I said, I'd like to see a rotation of Dallin Hayden and Travion Henderson. That worked well. We would have had a total of 0 carries for them. We would not have much of a running game. So I can't explain that. But
well, Dallin should have played. I don't get it.
We do get it, though. We know why. They do not trust him in pass protection. That has to be it. Dave, you asked the question, and I give Dave credit. That was as political an answer as you'll see. He's great with the ball in his hands, which means, I don't know if that means when the ball is thrown to him while it's in the air, he struggled and stuff like that. I'm not – Oh, and people are saying, look – I'm not saying Kyle McCord didn't throw a bunch of bad balls, but I do think we need to take it with a grain of salt. It was a much better opponent than they had faced previous. The weather wasn't great for throwing the football. I mean, I don't think he was great. You don't need me to – I mean, if I were to come on here and say he was great, I'd be lying. But I do think it's kind of interesting, and I may have developed a complex because I'm also a Cowboys fan, where people talk about Marvin Harrison like he's not really on the team. Like he comes in for weekends for games. They're like, well, if they didn't have Marvin Harrison, they would – it's like, what do you – they recruited Marvin Harrison, by the way, from the hometown of the head coach they were playing against. Think that hurts a little bit? They're both Philly guys. So I don't understand that part. It literally, people talk about, well, what if they didn't have Marvin Harrison? They do. They won that game at the dinner table, okay? That's how you win. So that part I don't get. I get Kyle needs to get a lot better. But the idea that Marv is like Henderson from Fast Times at Ridgemont High that we fly in for, I heard he only flies in for games. That's just not accurate. We deserve credit for having Marvin the fold.
They also deserve credit, you know, and this kind of gets lost in the shuffle. We've talked about it, but not on the show really so far today, but we've talked about it. Not only did they control this game against Penn State, they win it convincingly against a top seven team. They do it without Emeka Egbuka. They do it without Denzel Burke. They do it without Travion Henderson. I mean, think about that. So, yeah, the people, what if they didn't have Marvin Harrison Jr.? Okay, well, what if they do have him? What if they did have Emeka Egbuka out there? You know, what would this have looked like? What if they had Denzel Burke out there? I'll tell you what, with the way Jordan Hancock played and Igbinosin, they didn't even need Burke. Those guys played great. All right, let's get to it.
Dave,
go ahead.
My grandmother always used to say, if you had wheels, you'd be a trolley car. So if makes no sense to me.
There's another if analogy out there that I've used before dealing with family members. I don't think I'm going to. I already did a Manscaped ad. I can say it. My aunt had balls, should be my uncle. Yeah, we've all heard that one. Yeah.
We don't want to Manscape your aunt now. Come on now.
No. That's why I said gentleman. That's why the ad says gentleman. That's why. Okay. Now, let's get to the agree disagree game.
Great. This is going to be fun. Now, I don't necessarily agree or disagree with these statements myself, but I think they are interesting topic starters. And I try to focus a little bit more on big picture, as Dave and I were talking before the show, because, you know, after the Penn State game was a milepost for the season where we always kind of knew we were going to stop and assess things. So these, and I promise you, no wagering. This is not a gambling app. And Dave has not heard any of these questions. Mm-mm. All right. The winner of the game will determine the Heisman Trophy winner between J.J. McCarthy and Marvin Harrison.
Disagree, because I don't think people are given. I'm writing about this. This is one of my bullet points in what we learned, the written version, is Marvin needs to be getting more Heisman love. Right now he's an extreme long shot, 35-1. This despite putting up big-time numbers in an offense that without him is not putting up big numbers. I mean, look at the Penn State game. It was like Marvin and including Penn State and the rest of Ohio State's guys. I was like Marvin had better numbers than anybody, both teams combined. So it just seems like they're going to give it to – I could see, as long as McCarthy doesn't have a terrible day, I could even see Ohio State winning that game and them still giving it to McCarthy. He's the favorite right now. Or Jaden McDaniels is right there as well, if LSU – yeah. Wins out and he puts up big numbers. So I hope I'm wrong. I will, maybe this is reverse psychology, but I'll disagree.
I think it's more likely than we think. If you actually look at it, in the classic sense, I don't think McCarthy or Marv are having like an overwhelming, Heisman season, but I don't think there's any other candidates that have a great shot. Michael Penix cannot win it.
He's out.
Okay.
Caleb Williams is out.
Okay. Yeah. Give me some. Daniels at LSU. Dude. LSU doesn't want anything.
You're preaching to the choir here. I think Marvin, I don't know. Here's what I've said. I'm just going to give away my column here. This is just one part of it. Okay. I think I even talked about, no, I talked about this on my show in Columbus yesterday. It's all running together, Dan, as you can imagine, the most talking about Ohio State football this time of year. But like, what do we hear all the time from analysts, from opposing coaches, Ohio State's coaches, teammates, name it, people you trust in the football world? What do we hear all the time? Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in college football. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in college football. My friends, last time I checked, we have an award for that.
Right.
called the Heisman Trophy. So I have no idea. You look at the Vegas odds right now, and I, you know, shockingly, I do have a couple apps on here that of the gambling persuasion. He's 35-1. He's a long shot. So if you think he's going to win it, which he should, get on there and put your money where your mouth is, because 35-1 is a long shot. That's ridiculous to me. That's
I don't buy. I know those are the numbers. I believe that that's what the website says. But one thing Marvin has, or everybody else, is everybody knows his name. This that's is true. Not Joe Blow. When you get down to the end and people be like, who am I going to vote? You made the statement that I was going to make. If you took 100 educated college football fans from the entire country and they only had 5 seconds to answer and they said, who's the best player in college football? He'd win in a landslide. So I think he's got a much better chance than we think. And a lot of reason is, like I said, it's because of he's a household name already because of his pops and because, hello, he plays for the Scarlet and Gray. And our exposure nationally, decent, last time I checked. Okay, let's stick with the game as the basis. Regardless of the result of the game, both Ohio State and Michigan are going to the playoff.
Disagree, especially if Michigan loses. If Michigan loses, you know, they'll have one. Let's assume they beat Penn State. They'll have one quality win. And right now, unless somebody's overtaken them, they have the weakest schedule of any Power 5 team. I think Penn State was second or right up there. I mean, look at Michigan's schedule. It's really, really, really rough. You know, they didn't play anybody. So if Michigan's sitting there at 11-1, they're not getting in. Ohio State could. We saw it happen last year. It could happen again. If Ohio State loses by a field goal in Ann Arbor, that's their only loss. They have wins over Penn State and Notre Dame. Let's say Penn State and Notre Dame stay in the top 10 or at least top 12. I could see Ohio State sneaking in again, even with the loss against Michigan. I don't even want to think about that. They better beat Michigan this year, Dan. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, it'd be a yes. Or no. I would agree/disagree because disagree overall because Michigan's not getting in 11-1. No way.
It's funny when I asked the question, I didn't really consider that. Believe it or not, I'm kind of focused on Ohio State, but that's a good, that's a good answer.
Right.
I think Ohio State, this is what I was going to say. Ohio State handles, like I'm saying, they got to start throwing some points up. They got a blowout. They needed like a blowout in Madison would help. If that's the case and they win all, if you win all your games and hypothetically, people, you lose to the number two team on the road by a few, you're going to the playoff if you're Ohio State. I'm telling you. Because I don't believe the other teams aren't that good. It's not like Florida State is – I don't believe the rest of the teams are going to hold serve. There's no – that never happens anyway, and the teams aren't good enough at this point. So that's my opinion. Next two games are at Wisconsin and at Rutgers. At Rutgers coming off a bye, because they don't play this coming weekend, is tougher than at Whiskey this weekend.
Disagree, but I am not blowing it off because I've watched Rutgers closely. They have a good defense. They can run the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against Ohio State because they're completely one-dimensional. But, I mean, Camp Randall at night is just – it can get hopping. And Luke – I know when he brought Cincinnati, you can see it's easy to say, well, Luke's going to have his guys ready. And I've said that too. I know what happened when Cincinnati came and everybody's like, Luke's going to have his guys ready in 2019. And the Buckeyes blew their doors off 42-0. That's also one of the best Ohio State teams I've ever seen. 2019 Ohio State. Yep. Should have been playing for the national championship against LSU. I got screwed against Clemson. That 2019 Ohio State team was fantastic on both sides of the ball, but I digress. You know, I think Wisconsin – now, Wisconsin's not good. They're not terrible. They're mediocre. I still think they're better than Rutgers. Wisconsin beat Rutgers by 11 this year. And the game being at Wisconsin at night, a little bit of a trap game for Ohio State coming off the Penn State game. I think Wisconsin at night is the tougher – I'm not really worried about either one. I think both are going to be relatively – not as much as Penn State – relatively – low-scoring defensive slugfest with Ohio State scoring more than they did against Penn State and moving the ball better. You know, I'll go with Wisconsin as the tougher game.
I think I'd agree with that, but I'll say this. Rutgers, like I said, that we did not get the kitchen sink from Penn State. Rutgers is going to give you the kitchen sink. Yep. With the bye week in between, you could see 7 to 10 trick plays in that game. I'm not kidding. Because Shiano is a pull out all the stops type. I remember there was a game here against Rutgers where we eventually crushed him, but there was a time when he was doing goofy crap and you're like, what's going on? So I do not think Luke will get goofy against Ohio State because he runs the risk of being embarrassed at home at night. I don't think Shiano gives an F about any of that stuff. You know what I mean? You don't give a
rat. Eligible. Yeah, there's house money now. You're right. Yeah.
Well, that guy's nuts too. Yep. So, all right. Over the last 5 regular season games, so like a 12-game regular season, we're 7-0. Carnell Tate will have more receptions than Julian Fleming.
Well, I like that one. Agree. It's close, and I think this Fleming could come back next year, even though this is his 4th year because of the COVID year. I think regardless, he's just going to go. Even I don't think he's being an early pick. So I could see, you know, Heartline giving him some love, especially him being – this is probably his last year, but – Tate's coming on, man. Tate's coming on. And I don't see that, you know, I see that trend continuing, not going the other way. So I think it'll be very close. You can make arguments either way, salient arguments either way. I'll agree.
I'll tell you what, if you start looking at next year, they're going to be young at receiver. Super, super talented, but very young. For the first time in a while, you don't have like a dynamic duo of first round guys coming back because they'll be in the league. But it will be very interesting. Okay. Blank will finish as Ohio State's leading rusher. Dave, listen to these epic numbers right now. Your leading rusher is a guy named Travion Henderson. You've seen pictures. 295 yards, followed by Chip Traynham, 158 yards, and Mayan Williams, 100 and some odd yards as well. I wrote that down wrong. Regardless, it's not impressive. Who will finish as Ohio State's leading rusher? You got 5 games.
Jeez, just because he's in the lead right now, I'll go with Travion.
Yikes.
I will agree. If I'm agreeing that he'll lead, I'll agree it's going to be the guy in the lead right now. Here's the thing, though, Dan. It feels like I almost said, well, we're hearing, you know, they probably could have played him last week, but they decided to sit him out to, you know, save him for the next week. You'd never do that, you know. You'd never save him for, I guess, I mean, Wisconsin's no joke, but if he could have played against Penn State, he would have played against Penn State, in my opinion. And we've heard this for 3 straight weeks. Oh, he could have played, but, you know, they decided to be cautious with it. Sounds like to me it's something that is definitely a lingering injury. And the durability concerns with him continue. It's not a lack of toughness. It's a lack of durability. That's completely different. But it is a concern. But we keep hearing that it's not long-term, so I'll roll the dice and say Travion, but you can see how much confidence I have in my answer.
This is, like I said, I've never followed a team, college, pro, high school, where I literally had no idea who the running back was going to be the next week. And I've watched every snap of every game of every player. So I have no clue, literally no clue. If you told me they put Hayden in there for the last 5 games, I'll tell you who I think the leading rush would be.
I almost said
Allen Wade.
Yep. I almost said if it was up to me, it might be Dallin Hayden, but it's not.
And let me tell you something. I get that. That's, believe it or not, when I leave the house, those few people who do recognize me or know that my job – I'm getting that a lot on the street. Why isn't he playing? What's the problem? Yada, yada, yada. And here's another thing. The playoffs aren't going to be that tough to make going forward. You need to pull out all the friggin' stops to get in the playoff this year. This year. Go look at what it would be like for Ohio State in the top 12. They've made the playoffs like 67 of 68 years. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
And also the number one easiest position to get in the transfer portal is running back. It makes no sense what they're doing. I no longer buy the red shirt for Dallin Hayden thing is to make him the main guy. I think they blatantly just don't think he's good enough to be back there. They've had plenty of chances to put him in there. Plenty. And they have no interest in doing it. Okay. Last one. The second Ohio State Buckeye chosen in the 2024 NFL draft behind Maserati.
I think it will be. Let me make sure I'm not forgetting somebody. Okay, hold on. It's between two guys, I think, and it's not Emeka, even though Emeka. It's between Denzel Burke and JT Tuimoloau. Corners are at such a premium, or so are rush ends. Ooh, yep. That's going to be a tough one.
So a receiver.
I will go with Denzel Burke as the number two, but JT's right there. Emeka's going to be a first round. They're going to have four first round picks, but I'll go with Burke because of just how high. First of all, how well he's played. Hopefully his injury is not serious. We're hearing it's not, so that's good. But of course, you never know with injuries with this team, so who knows? But I am hearing it's not like, you know, serious, like long term. And I thought that was great that Emeka was at least able to dress. I won't be surprised if it's JT, but I'll go with Denzel Burke.
That's fair. I think it's going to be JT in the end, just because having taken a quick peek at the draft, there are a bunch of corners that you could argue ahead of Burke, but they both are kind of getting that late first round vibe buzz, which is kind of the spot reserved. And a lot of times for guys who at one point in time were thought to be super high, something happened and now they're kind of back to their regular form and people are hesitant to put them too high. You know what I'm saying? But they know, I mean, there's no question talent wise. Burke is borderline prototype when you look at his body, and JT the same for the strong side defensive end. So I'll go with JT, but Dave, very good performance by you in the disagree agree game.
I love this idea. Great idea on your part. So we'll have to break this out every now and then, the agree disagree game. All right, let's finish up. Give the good people what they need to know about the big recruiting weekend, Mr. Rubin.
So it was impressive. Sometimes you get a little nervous that a noon game for your big recruiting weekend of the year can be an issue just because Ohio State, to quote Spinal Tap, recruits the world and elsewhere. So guys have to come from far distances. But there were some dudes there. You didn't have your Californians because of the way it went down, generally speaking. But if you go to Bill Kerlick's photo gallery that he has on the site right now, you can see a ton of dudes. The guy that I was focused on, Amaris Williams, defensive end, top player in the state of North Carolina, verbally committed to Florida. What's interesting is Florida got a commitment from, I think it's LJ McCray, if I have his last name wrong, I apologize, a super high-rated defensive lineman this weekend. I don't think they – I mean, he's the kind of guy at Florida you take at any point in time, but Amaris Williams seeing another guy commit to Florida who's ranked higher than him, by the way, he's the 10th ranked defensive lineman in the country. Right now, Justin Scott and Edric Houston are 3 and 6. So if you pull in Amaris Williams, you're talking 3 of the top 10 defensive linemen in the country, which would be incredible. There was another group, great group of kids out here at the weekend. You should definitely go check that out. But in terms of guys you really want to be focused in on right now, it's Amaris Williams. The next big name out there is Jordan Seaton, who is a left tackle who plays at IMG. There was some question about whether he was a left tackle or an interior lineman. He's a transfer from St. John's in D.C. Those of you who have ESPN got to see St. John's play DeMatha on ESPN this past weekend. Pretty sure DeMatha came out in the end and won that. But Seton transferred from St. John's where he did play on the interior. But at IMG, he's playing left tackle. I know for a fact someone has told someone very close to me that Ohio State believes Seton is a better prospect than Brandon Baker. So Brandon Baker was, I thought, the top left tackle in the country. So Seton will be here for the Michigan State game. So that's one to keep an eye on. But yesterday was, you know, a lot of committed dudes were here. You could see your next two quarterbacks, Tavian St. Clair, who, by the way, talk about someone who passes the eye test. He is impressive, man. He's a legit. He doesn't look like Terrell Pryor yet, but when he gets here, physically speaking, that's going to be his closest comparison. And there's just a ton of other dudes here, so definitely keep it locked in here. And the Dean has all the skinny you need, but you're going to have to pay for a lot of it.
All right. Yeah, keep it locked to Bucknuts. Wisconsin coverage all week. I'm going to have a quick look back on what we learned from Penn State. I'll have that up on the site probably within the hour after I Rewatched the game this morning. Great stuff out of Dan Rubin. The debut of the agree-disagree game. It's going to become a staple, my friend.
Huge.
Great stuff out of Dan. It might be syndicated before we know it.
Basically like our answer to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. This is what we're doing to boost the show. God, I'm sick of that, but go ahead.
It should work. My daughters are so into, I mean, I know probably every like so girls funny. Those age in the country are super into Taylor Swift. They think that they're the biggest Taylor Swift fans in the world. They went to the movie yesterday, the 3-hour movie thing. My wife took them. So they're actually like, oh, are the Chiefs playing today? I'm like, you guys are not allowed to be Chiefs fans. We are Bengal fans. We're not going to root for the Kansas City Chiefs just because of Taylor Swift. So anyway. So
I had someone say to me, so when Tom Brady was married to Gisele Bundchen, she actually made more money than he did. And then Travis Kelce was like, hold my beer. Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen the prices for Taylor Swift's concerts?
I know that she's in the billions for a tour.
Yeah. Yep, she is. All right, wait, I did not expect to talk about Taylor Swift to end the show.
Dave.
Never know what you're going to get.
Everybody talks about Taylor Swift.
You never know what you're going to get on the Bucknuts Morning 5. Yeah, everybody does talk about her. Yeah, I knew she was trouble when she walked in, Dan. I knew she was trouble when she walked in.
There you go. I'm assuming that's a song reference. I've never once actually.
Oh, yeah, you have no idea, do you? Cool. Okay, just hey, shake it off. It'll be fine. All right, thanks again to Dan. Thanks to all of you guys. Appreciate you guys making the Bucknuts Morning 5 a part of your morning. Every morning, Monday through Friday. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to all of you. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.